Now, on Saturday, the presidential election was called and former Vice President Joe Biden has been declared the winner. Usually that series of events begins the presidential transition process. However, this year, the Trump administration is challenging election results in courts and has not granted the Biden team access. We're going to take a look now at how the presidential transition process works and what past transitions can teach us about the current one. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the official presidential transition process? Do you remember transitions of the past? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Shannon Bo O'Brien is an assistant professor of instruction at the University of Texas at Austin. She specializes in American government and the presidency. Her recent book is called Donald Trump and the Kayfabe Presidency, Professional Wrestling Rhetoric in the White House. Shannon, thanks a lot for joining us today.
No problem. Happy to do it.
Well, usually, as in 2016, you know, after you have the AP and other media outlets calling, projecting a winner in the election, that starts a process. What sort of things happened in 2016? What sort of things usually happen at that point after the presidential election?
Well, usually what happens is, the Electoral College process, the states actually have this year, and there's a specific day for it, but the states have till December 8th to resolve and basically get their number certified. And then they meet the electors in the states meet on December 14th, and then they count the Electoral College ballots by January 6th. Those are the dates for this year, and there's some complicated dates for when all this has to occur, but that's what they are for this year. And however, when we pretty much know what the states are doing, even before those are certified, what happens is several offices, for example, the General Service Administration, they pretty much issue a letter going, okay, yeah, this is who's probably going to win this thing, and that's what gets the ball rolling to allow the new incoming president to be able to get office space, to release money, to start being able to acquire security clearances for people, to be able to start doing all of these things for transition, to have a smooth transition. And we've pretty much since we have a law on the books, it started, even though obviously presidents have been transitioning since, you know, the beginning, but we had a law that came through in the 1960s that started like looking at this official process and trying to do this officially. But really it was actually Jimmy Carter's the one that started taking this really seriously and started doing a serious transition team. I can keep babbling about it if you like.
No. Well, that's okay. Let's contrast this year. You mentioned that General Services Administration office and the current director of that office not issuing that letter of ascertainment. So what does that mean for the Biden team as they're wanting to get the ball rolling here?
Well, it means that they don't have access to government resources, and that can be a real issue. I've heard and I've seen something saying that, like, for example, there's a bunch of letters over at the State Department from foreign officials worldwide that want to congratulate Biden that he doesn't have access to. And I've heard, and it sounds like it would be legit, that some of these people are actually calling old former Obama officials going, hey, do you got Biden's phone number? Because we'd like to talk to him. And that's on the foreign side. But that actually ties up a bit with what happened in election 2000, because what happened was because we didn't know a letter wasn't issued until December because it was so controversial. But they do, when people did assessments and looked back, this affected some of the transition planning and some of the foreign, the things going on the foreign affairs side that really led towards September 11th. It didn't cause it. It wasn't responsible for it, but they didn't have a smooth transition in place. And that was, you know, one of the fears is causing security lapses.
And that's something that's been an issue. Even some Republican senators now who are not saying, yes, we agree Biden won. Some of them are saying, but given the possibility that he did, in fact, win, those intelligence briefings should be started now. I want to give a listen actually to one of them, Oklahoma Republican Senator James Lankford, talking to a radio station in Oklahoma, KRMG, yesterday. Here's a listen.
There's nothing wrong with Vice President Biden getting the briefings to be able to prepare himself and so that he can be ready. The president's already getting those. There's nothing wrong with the former vice president getting those. Kamala Harris is on the Intelligence Committee. She has all the clearances that she needs to be able to do that. There is no loss from him getting the briefings and to be able to do that. And if that's not occurring by Friday, I will step in as well and to be able to push him to say this needs to occur so that regardless of the outcome of the election, whichever way that it goes, people can be ready for that actual task.
What do you make of that? A Republican senator, again, you know, walking that fine line between not wanting to disagree with the president, but saying, yeah, we have this potential future president who needs these briefings.
Well, I mean, I heard a couple things in there. One, he was saying that we're talking about two individuals, Harris and Biden, who have both passed multiple security clearances to have access to this sort of information before. So it's not a security risk to make this available to them. And what he's also saying is we need a plan B. You know, it's like you have to plan for, even though if the Republicans believe plan A, we also have to prep for a plan B, because at the end of the day, we have to keep this country safe. And providing this information, because these people have already passed these types of security clearances before, we know they're good for them. And we need to put things in place to make us the best country and the safest country available. And if that is giving them this information, that's probably the correct thing to do.
We're talking about presidential transitions in normal years and this year, too. Shannon Bo O'Brien with us from the University of Texas at Austin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Christine is with us in Madison. Christine, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about?
I was recalling when I was fresh out of graduate school in my 20s in 1992, working for the Office of Management and Budget, which is the president's budget office, and just being so amazed at the transition from the George H.W. Bush administration to the Clinton administration. Processes and procedures were clear because the new president, of course, was going to come in and want to do a budget, archiving materials. And I still remember, you know, all those years ago, standing in front of the White House and seeing moving vans and stuff was coming in and stuff was going out. And I just thought it was such a great symbol of democracy to see this smooth transition. There was nothing. One person was in, one person was out. You know, there were the elections that happened and it was moving forward.
Christine, thanks a lot for that call and that personal experience. And Shannon, people are pointing to, you know, Barack Obama welcoming Donald Trump in the White House a couple days after election 2016. And even when the party switches, some pretty good cooperation for the most part in the transition. Is that the norm?
Well, largely. I mean, when we look at this, we actually look back at the election of 1800. And I know probably everybody's going, yeah, we actually do, because we sometimes refer to that one as the Revolution of 1800, because that was the first time in the history of the world. And it's actually a really interesting concept where we had one political party, which was John Adams with the Federalist, lose power to became the Jeffersonian Democrats, the Jeffersonian Republicans, the Jefferson Anti-Federalists, and he peacefully handed over power and he lost. And so that set up this idea that democracy runs the show here. It's not this, you know, we must have a fist fight or we must have a war. When one party wins over another, we peacefully surrender power. And that's going back to the founding. And we just we've had contentious ones. We've had people that aren't happy. When I worked on my first book, I was working on the presidential schedules, and Jimmy Carter pretty much took off and when he lost and went to a cabin for a couple of days just to get away. George H.W. Bush, when he lost, took a few days off and wasn't really engaged in schedule, but they also, both of them respected the process and let it go forward and did what they could because the country has to come first and the security of the country has to come first.
Thanks,
and they were both into it. Yeah. So
thanks for that call, Shannon. That's okay. Cindy joins us next in Appleton. Cindy, hello.
Hello. You touched a little bit on the security issue I wanted to bring up, but I just want to say that this not transitioning really is harming our country. I think it's harming a lot of people emotionally. It's harming our national security. And I mean, I'm sure no one's surprised that he doesn't want to leave, because this man does not believe, I'm talking Trump, does not believe in democracy. He believes in oligarch. So, you know, I'm not surprised he's doing this, which I think is very childish and immature. But as a whole, I think it's harming our country and affecting our national security. And I think it's just ignorant of this man.
Cindy, thanks for the call. And people have raised additional concerns, Shannon, about during this post-election period now, removing the Secretary of Defense and other top defense officials. We're seeing a new list of Homeland Security officials fired or believe they're about to be fired. Shakeups like that in the middle of a transition, does that make the national security apparatus even a little more difficult?
Well, yes. I think there's a few things going on there in my suspicions. Is I do think in terms of security, it is problematic because we're going to have people who were in positions that may have to make decisions. And there are concerns about what happens if something occurs. And we need people that are well prepared to be able to assess things and have the experience in the job and trust their employees to know what is capable of there. What I am concerned, what's actually going on with these replacements is this might be the administration looking forward into another like 4 years from now or 8 years from now and putting some people who have been loyalists to them or supportive of them into these positions. So sort of like participation trophies, so that maybe when there's another Republican administration in office in the future, they can say they might have a smoother Senate confirmation. Because, they served during the Trump administration briefly. And I suspect that actually is really what's going on here, is trying to give people these positions to help in the future. That's my suspicion. But I do think in terms of security, it is a really big concern of having people, because sometimes other countries do see us as vulnerable in this stage. So.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to political scientist Shannon Bo O'Brien, looking at the ins and outs of presidential transitions. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What would you like to see from the Trump administration in this transition? What would you like to see the Biden team prioritize? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with political scientist Shannon Bo O'Brien about presidential transitions. Until the Trump administration recognizes Joe Biden as president-elect, the Biden team doesn't have access to things like daily briefings, State Department support, or office space. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your reactions and questions. Back to your calls now. Charles is with us in Waukesha. Charles, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to point out that recently today, President Trump won a court case in Pennsylvania to reject ballots that were the deadline to receive mail-in ballots was extended and they didn't have the legal right to. And also there was 230 some odd sworn affidavits in Michigan citing irregularities in voting. So I think it is worth to extend this transition period until everything is found out.
Gotcha. Charles, thanks for the call. Clarification, I think the Pennsylvania case was on ballots remedied after the election. The other ones, the ones you were talking about, are being segregated, I think, while they're still in the court. Not enough to flip Pennsylvania. And the Michigan one had no instance of fraud, as I understand. Just to clarify, there were instances of people not liking the way other poll workers looked at them were some examples there. But Shannon, Charles's point that there are still legal battles here. So why make that determination at this point of a transition?
Well, at this point, I mean, a lot of the numbers were, you have to look at whether or not the states are going to flip and the likelihood of the states actually changing what the totals are right now is looks like it's pretty low. And it's not so much about trying to make sure we have a good plan B in place, or we have a good plans moving forward in place. And that regardless of what the results are, we have to get it. The country has to have a leader on January 20th at 12:01. And we have to set this up and get things forward, moving forward. So we're the safest we can be. And that since a lot of these states, when they start coming back and certifying, it's looking like a lot of the ballots that are being fought over aren't going to flip the states. So sometimes, yes, everything needs to be exact as possible. And I am a huge fan of that. But at the same token, we also have to look and see how much is this going to change the overall totals.
Thanks for the call.
And make our best guests.
At 800-642-1234. I want to give a listen to President-elect Biden talking about how they're trying to carry on with the transition. Here's a listen.
We're going to be moving along in a consistent manner, putting together our administration, the White House, and reviewing who we're going to pick for the cabinet positions. And nothing's going to stop that. And so I'm confident that the fact that they're not willing to acknowledge we won at this point is not of much consequence in our planning and what we're able to do between now and January 20th.
So how much then can Shannon, the Biden administration or Biden team, transition team, do without that cooperation and that determination from the White House?
Well, I mean, they can actually do quite a bit. I mean, one of the best things he has is that he is the former vice president. It's not like me getting elected and having to start, you know, pretty much having to, you know, go find some office space, perhaps at a startup somewhere. He knows a lot of people in the government. He probably has an idea of former, current, and maybe future officials that have governmental experience that he wants in certain places. So they can start lining this up. They can start getting lists together. They can start getting things because they've already been through it, and many people that are around him have already been through it before. They know who's going to pass muster on certain things and who's not, based on previous things they've been through. Plus, they can start putting together lists and getting information together in certain ways that it'll go smoother. And I think that's a big advantage. And I think he can do that and start moving forward that way.
Let's bring on another caller now. Tom is with us in Green Bay. Tom, hello.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My question is around the GSA office, I believe it was called, and their issuing the letter of ascertainment. It sounds like there's a level of decision making that they have at this point, but can you talk to, is there a point where where it's compulsory, such as all of the states have certified the election results or some other trigger when it is no longer a decision, but mandatory?
Oh, interesting question, Tom. Shannon, do you know?
There's a few dates. It depends on how hard you want to play with this one. Like I said before, and that's the way I opened it, is that we do have the Electoral College calendar. Technically, the states should know what's going on December 8th. And I would say probably we should know on December 8th-ish. If the state, that letter probably should be issued around then. However, December 14th, which is 6 days later, the electors in each of the states do have to meet at the state capitol and basically certify the Electoral College ballots for each state. And those should be done at that point too. And if it hadn't been done by the 8th, it really should be done by that point. And then on the absolute latest, which I think is, it shouldn't be by then because we should know it at that point, January 6th. January 6th is when the Electoral College meets and certifies and declares officially the president-elect. And that would be the absolute last date. But really, it's when we're fairly certain that this is, you know, for sure and absolutely done is when they can issue. And those are the official dates we're looking at.
Thanks for the call. Time for another caller or two. Dan is with us in Racine County. Dan, hi.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. My comment was simply that it doesn't seem like a surprise that President Trump would hold back. I am heartened by knowing that Biden, being a former vice president and having gone through this process before, seems to be acting with due diligence in getting his plans together. And I'm hopeful that that means that the transition will be smooth against some of the backdrop of more nefarious thought processes about why the president might be doing this. So I'm hopeful and optimistic that it will go smoothly and that we will have a very smooth transition of power. And thanks for taking my call.
Dan, thanks a lot for the call. Shannon, do you share that optimism that even after the hullabaloo, this could be a smooth transition?
I think so. It's even if it's a rough transition, it'll be a smooth transition. I know that sounds silly, but the system's set up to keep the wheels keep turning in our system. We have a civil service that is an apolitical civil service that will keep doing their jobs. Yes, we have our political appointees, but we also have our merit-based civil service system. And the people in power, they guide us and they give us direction, but the system, not everybody's leaving. So I think the system will work, and I do have the optimism there too.
What are you, Shannon, watching for next in this process?
What am I watching for? Well, one of the things I think is interesting is a friend of mine and I, the president's schedule is pretty empty. He's not doing a whole lot. I'm actually waiting to see if he starts doing anything. His schedule's been empty the last couple of days. I would like to see in this process him direct GSA to go ahead and sign the letter and start moving forward. But I really don't know what to expect. That's one of the things I've learned about Trump is he is a showman first and foremost. He likes excitement. He loves his sweeps week. And I think he likes to have like last minute surprises. So I've learned to always expect the unexpected on this one.
Shannon, thanks a lot for being with us today.
Sure. Thank you so much for asking me here.
Shannon Bo O'Brien is an assistant professor of instruction at the University of Texas at Austin. She specializes in American government and the presidency. Her latest book is called Donald Trump and the Kayfabe Presidency, Professional Wrestling Rhetoric in the White House. Be an interesting conversation in and of itself. She joined us today to talk about the challenges facing the current presidential transition.